on the phone right now with former Congressman Jim Nussle, who has just been appointed as President and COO of Growth Energy. And first, Jim, if you could just tell me a little bit about your background, as if most of us are familiar with you, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
First of all, thank you for the chance, and you're nice to ask. I served in the United States Congress for 16 years. I was in the President's Cabinet as his budget director under President George W. Bush, and I've been a board member with Growth Energy since its almost since its beginning, because I've been excited, along with I know a number of ethanol supporters across the country, that we've got an organization like Growth Energy that is out there not only telling the important good story about renewable energy, ethanol, and the future of homegrown energy for our not only our energy supply, but also to create jobs and to help protect our national security, but because we see an opportunity for the future for even more exciting developments in years to come working on behalf of ethanol supporters across the country. So I'm excited to be part of this new and continuing to grow and develop organization.
Now, what will your role be with Growth Energy as president and COO?
Well, it's a fancy title, which means, you get called up and it's your job to do it. I mean, I think is basically what it is. Growth Energy has been an exciting, very vibrant organization that has grown very fast. It's one that took off. I kind of describe it as an organization that was being built while the rocket ship was already in motion. And I think part of what we're able to do now, and having been on the board, I saw this, is we're able to take stock of our opportunities and our challenges. We're able to organize even better for the upcoming opportunities that the energy challenges of America will provide. And we see some challenges out there that, quite frankly, we've got to address very quickly. So I think it gives us an opportunity to do all of that in an organization that is already building on enormous success. So this last year, couple of years, Growth Energy has been the fastest growing organization. It's now the leading ethanol supporter industry association. It's fastest growing membership. It's really been on the forefront of ethanol policy here in Washington and across the nation. So we're building on success, and I will be leading it on a day-to-day basis, continuing to work with Tom Bias, who is a not only a good friend but a great partner in this effort, as well as a very active and involved board of directors.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about some of the challenges that we're looking at? Most of us know that, but a lot of them are policy-related issues, especially we're looking at the expiration of the ethanol tax credits at the end of this year. How is Growth Energy going to be involved in that as this, we're looking at the elections here and, basically a lame duck session here at the end of the year? What do you think is going to happen and what's Growth Energy's role?
Well, I think Growth Energy recognizes, as do most people, that the Congress is going to be enormously challenged when it comes back from this election, to say the least. There's going to be a lot of change. No matter what your perspective is, good or bad, there will be enormous change coming up, and that change may make it difficult for Congress to act in a typical way, if you will. So probably the best we can hope for is an extension of the VTEC for possibly a year, maybe more, but possibly just a year. That's good news, but Growth Energy is also on the forefront of developing policy for the future so that ethanol not only deals with the status quo challenges, but also is always pushing the envelope for expanding its market, ensuring that we have homegrown energy here in the United States from a national security standpoint, that we're part of the solution when it comes to growing our economy and creating jobs of the future. And recognizing that our environment is precious and that we have an opportunity for a clean-burning fuel that not everyone can claim. So we really believe we have an opportunity to be part of the solution as Congress looks for solutions. And we've done that in the last couple of years, but particularly in the Congress coming up, there will be many areas where they will look to fight and disagree. We believe energy is an area where we can agree across party lines, across regional lines, and even across philosophical lines. There's a lot of agreement on renewable energy and ethanol, and we want to build on that success and that support for the future.
Just in the last month, we had two major announcements related to ethanol. One was the EPA's decision on E15, and the other was Secretary Vilsack's announcements just a week or so ago regarding USDA initiatives related to biofuels. How do you view those announcements with regard to the future of ethanol, and how do you view the Obama administration's support of renewable fuels?
Well, first on the last question, I mean, certainly Secretary Vilsack and President Obama have been supporters of ethanol. We've seen that President Obama's visit to an ethanol plant earlier this summer. Secretary Vilsack, when he was governor of Iowa and as Secretary of Agriculture, has been a real champion for ethanol, for renewable energy. So, you know, we've seen that support. That's why I say, in a bipartisan way, Republicans and Democrats have always shown a good propensity for supporting renewable, clean-burning, job-creating energy like ethanol. I think the real challenge is going to be in the fiscal area, because so much of what's happening in Washington has been challenged by the budget deficit, the national debt, the overspending, the bailouts, et cetera. So Congress is looking for policy alternatives and creativity really as never before. So what we're trying to do, in addition to the typical support of ethanol, such as a VTEC extension, we've put out a new plan called Fueling Freedom as an example of a way to look at expanding infrastructure, such as in blender pumps and flex fuel vehicles and an ethanol pipeline for the future, so that we can continue to expand American energy. So I see opportunity, even though there's going to be a lot of challenges. I mean, I don't think it's breaking news to say that Republicans and Democrats will continue to disagree after the election, but I also believe that they may find some areas of opportunity to agree, and I believe energy and renewable energy may very well be one of those areas.
How about regarding the EPA's E15 decision? Where is growth energy going as far as that's concerned, since it was just really a partial I'll call it a partial victory for the waiver that growth energy had requested?
Well, we were obviously, I mean, very, very encouraged, because it was our request for the waiver at growth energy that started this process and that they're responding to. So we believe it's a great first step. I mean, step one was to extend the waiver and to do it for the 07 and beyond vehicles and newer vehicles, and we hope and are encouraged by the possibility of a 2001 and newer extension even later, so coming up here possibly this next month. So we're encouraged by that. We know that there's still a lot of work to be done, but we're encouraged by the waiver, and we believe that, coupled with some of the other announcements, such as Secretary Vilsack's and the announcement by NASCAR to use E15, to use ethanol, is really an exciting development that would not have been possible without the support and the leadership of Growth Energy.
Part of the EPA announcement regards having a warning label of sorts, some type of label on the pumps carrying E15, and that is in a comment period right now. What kind of input is Growth Energy going to provide regarding that? How that label might be structured?
Well, I mean, obviously we look at that very seriously, and just like all the other regulatory comment periods, we're going to work with the industry in order to ensure that they get their comments in, that the label is safe and provides appropriate information to the consumer, so that they can make decisions about the fuel that they're putting into their vehicle. So we look at more as an informational label, really, more than anything else, not so much a warning label, but an informational label, so that consumers can make the best choice about the fuel that they're using.
You're from Iowa. Obviously, the ethanol industry has been extremely important to Iowa as a corn state. talk a little bit about the importance of Iowa of ethanol for a rural economy and for states like Iowa.
Well, certainly, I mean, not only today, but for years now, ethanol has been an opportunity for farmers to diversify the delivery of their crop for other sources of value-added agriculture. And so from its very beginning, it's given farmers more price for their product, and it's created jobs in rural areas so that people can continue to stay and raise their families in a great state. So, I mean, I'm obviously partial to Iowa and what it's meant for Iowa, but it's not just about corn. I mean, if you look in the future with the continuing development of the industry, when you see what cellulosic ethanol may mean, I mean, we not only have the corn, but we have the corn stover. And so to be able to expand our industry by using not just the kernel, but to use the cob and to use the stover would be an amazing opportunity for a state like Iowa and many others are in the Midwest and around the country to continue to expand American energy and to do it by creating jobs right here at home without sending billions of dollars overseas for foreign oil. So it's been great for Iowa, no question. That's the history of ethanol. But the future of ethanol, I think, is just as bright given the developments that we're seeing in the industry.
This is a very critical time for the ethanol industry, and especially with a new Congress coming in, it's possibly, you know, more critical than ever that the industry show a united front. How are you going to help possibly create more unity within the ethanol industry and among the other ethanol organizations in addition to Growth Energy?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of support, and I think there is a lot of, commonality in the industry. There certainly may be style differences that people may perceive, but we believe that the best way to lead is to be out in front. That's what I think Growth Energy has tried to do from the very beginning, to not wait but to show leadership, is to get out in front and to get out in front of policy issues, market issues, economic issues. These are things that I think as a board I certainly saw as a board member, and I hope continues in my role as president of Growth Energy. That's not to suggest that there isn't disagreement. My goodness, that's true of any family. I mean, you always will have some that will look at the disagreement and try and either exploit or comment on the disagreement. Sometimes it's kind of like a hockey game. You know, you always comment about the fight that happened, but frankly, we have one common goal, and it's common to the industry. It's common to our supporters, and it's the continuing use of ethanol because of what it does for our environment, what it does for economic growth, and what it means for our national security. And I think while there might be style differences and policy differences from time to time, it's generally speaking always heading in that direction.
Thank you very much, Jim Nussel, now the President and COO, Chief Operating Officer for Growth Energy. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.